WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. A confident President Biden said today the economy is on the right track.
Good news today.
That's how the president responded to the latest jobs report.
This morning we learned the economy created 336,000 jobs in September alone. That means since I've taken office, we've created 13.9 million new jobs.
Mr. Biden adds unemployment has now stayed below 4% for 20 straight months, the longest stretch in 50 years. And he says it shows Bidenomics is working. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
Two senior Republicans are campaigning to be the next Speaker of the House. CBS's Scott McFarland says they'll have to appeal to moderates to get the job.
Neither of them is a shoo-in to win those potential swing voters in the conference who represent suburban New York City, suburban Philadelphia, suburban Los Angeles, who may have to find some bridge to supporting either Steve Scalise or Jim Jordan.
Busloads of migrants continue to show up at neighborhoods in Chicago. Volunteers say they weren't given a heads up about their arrival, and the city hasn't prepared for them. WBBM-TV reporter Andrew Ramos has the story.
The city's on track to surpass last week's record of 27 buses by double digits. Volunteers say if this trend continues and coordination with the city remains stagnant, winter is going to serve up chaos.
We're going to have families sleeping outdoors in parks, in the street, because that's what's happening now.
Now, this week, Mayor Johnson was asked about making the relationship between the city and these groups more equitable. He would only say that he appreciates the work that they are doing on the ground.
Tropical Storm Philippe is forecast to bring heavy rain and gusty winds to the Northeast this weekend. The Weather Channel meteorologist Stephanie Abrams says that is bad news for leaf peepers.
And the rain and the wind is going to take the leaves off the trees, so make sure they don't end up blocking any drains. And also watch for them while you're driving. Wet leaves can be as slippery as ice, and this 2 to 3 plus inches of rain is unfortunate timing as we are at peak or near peak in several cities in New England.
Some medical marijuana patients will soon have a new option.
Georgia will become the first state to allow the sale of medical marijuana products in pharmacies. Over 750 independent drugstores in Georgia could apply to sell such products.
It really means that virtually every community in the state could have access for patients.
Andrew Turnage heads up the Georgia Access to Medical Cannabis Commission. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
A strong day on Wall Street. Less than 2 hours before the close, the Dow is up 1%, S&P 500 up almost 1.25%, NASDAQ up 1.5%. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
At Staples,
you missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. Chippewa County Sheriff Travis Hakes released a lengthy statement Thursday refuting multiple parts of a report that is leading to a vote next week to remove him from office. The report says Hakes didn't do parts of his job and profited from his role as sheriff by selling real estate and other items on the side and had inappropriate communication with a coworker. Hakes denied most of the allegations and said the report was politically motivated. The Chippewa County Board will vote on Tuesday whether to remove him as sheriff. One board member has already called for Hakes to resign. A man is seriously hurt after being trapped inside of a combine that had rolled over Wednesday in Trumbull County. The sheriff's office said that the 48-year-old man was driving north on a road near Arcadia when he went to turn off of the road, but went into the ditch instead. The combine then rolled over and pinned the man inside. He was flown to a hospital with serious injuries. Today's weather, cloudy with scattered showers, highs only getting into the low 50s. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Howler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with producer number two, tagging in for the big hour number two, Nate Wagehout on the board, on the, what do they say, the ones and twos? I've never quite figured that all out, but yes, you're producing.
I am producing. Yeah, you could call it ones and twos. There's a on and off buttons and then things like that. That's kind of binary.
I'm not a numbers guy, so that's my problem. We appreciate you filling in, Nate. Great to have you back on the show.
Of course, always happy to fill in over here.
Yes, Mr. Zahmer is one of the grand marshals in the homecoming parade down on campus.
Oh, no, I not really. I don't actually know what he's doing today.
he's getting ready for a big wedding apparently this weekend.
Okay.
So welcome into the homecoming edition to the show here. Badgers play Rutgers in the homecoming game tomorrow. Tip off. I'm so used to football or basketball. Kickoff time is set for 11 o'clock tomorrow at Camp Randall Stadium, and you can hear the game for free. That's right. Won't cost you a dime. You can hear it live on the Civic Media app. Download it to your favorite phone, either Android or Apple device. Simply go to your app store, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. Take you about a minute. It is free to download the app, and you can listen to Matt LaPay and Mark Tauscher. The pregame show is probably around 10 o'clock or so, but kickoff time, 11 o'clock at Camp Randall. The Badgers in the homecoming game taking on Rutgers. If you're in a select city, you can also listen to them over the air. WRCE in Richland Center in the southwest part of the state. WRJN in Racine, Kenosha. WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. And WLAK in Amory up in the northwest part of the state. Not too far away from the Twin Cities, just kind of northwest of Eau Claire there. So Racine, Kenosha, Wisconsin Rapids, Amory, and Richland Center, you can listen to the game over the air. Otherwise, the Civic Media app. Because, Nate, I want to get your take on this. I'm asking everybody.
All right.
You can't watch it on TV.
No.
Because it's been peacocked. The Peacock streaming service is the only place to watch. What are your thoughts on this whole thing?
I think it's baloney.
Thank you.
I think there's no reason why it shouldn't be. It's Badger football.
Right.
It should be on TV where everyone can watch it and not on a streaming app that nobody has. Who has right. Peacock?
I don't. And yeah, I guess it costs like, I don't know, $8 or $9. Now, it's not too expensive, really. But it's just going. And my point is, there's a lot of people that do not have, quote unquote, smart TVs yet. They're used to either watching on rabbit ears or cable or satellite. And their TV literally can't support a streaming service.
When the Packers a couple weeks ago, they were on, what were they on? Amazon Prime?
Yep.
Or something like that. Yeah, I had family members who they have big TV in their living room, but they're a little bit older. They don't know right. how to set right. all that stuff up.
Yeah.
So instead they just sat at their computer in its own, which is in its own room
right.
by themselves to watch the game. And it's like, that's no fun.
As my former college professor at UW Platteville, my communications professor, Jack O'Neill, is fond of saying, he wrote a dollar sign, big dollar sign on the board or the whiteboard every class period and said, It all comes down to that. What's new in your world of broadcast communications? And Jack was right. It's all about the money. It's all about the money. Anyway, we hope that you will listen to the Badgers for free on the Civic Media app or on those select stations that we talked about. Should be a great game. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk for the Badgers. I mean, Rutgers, Greg Schiano is a pretty good coach, and he has Rutgers playing pretty well. We talked to Brady Ewing, former Badger, in the last segment there. We appreciate Brady coming on, as always, every other week. And I think the Badgers have the work cut out for them. I think they'll win, but I don't think it's going to be a blowout.
I have to be completely honest. I haven't been paying too much attention to the Badger football this year.
Well, they're doing well under new head coach Luke Fickell. They're 3-1. They are undefeated so far against the Big Ten. They beat Purdue last week. But it'll be very interesting to see. And, of course, Ches Belusi, one of the two key running backs, a terrible season-ending leg injury for him. So we talked about these couple of new guys, younger guys coming on, filling in that role. So should be a good game. Looking forward to going to it tomorrow here in Madison. Also talked about, want to finish this up before we move on to other news of the day. Wisconsin and the Big Ten released some of these new calendars. I think the next 4 years, who the Badgers will play in football. Because starting next year, Oregon, Washington, USC and UCLA all joined the Big Ten Conference. So this is exciting. Next year, Alabama and Nick Saban will be playing here in Madison in the preseason game. And then, or non-conference, I should say. And then the Oregon Ducks, who stole the Rose Bowl away from us in 2012, will be here in Madison. I'm looking forward to that. And the Badgers will be traveling to Los Angeles to play USC, the Trojans, in the stadium. Now, that's what I'd like to go to. But I hope that game is like in late November or late October, rather. That'd be a great game to be out in L.A. for. Then in 2025, we go to Alabama and Washington comes to Madison and we travel to Oregon to take them on. In 2026, big game. Lambeau Field will host Notre Dame and the Badgers up in Green Bay. And that will be in 2026. USC comes here. And we go, Badgers go to UCLA. And let me just tell you, if you have never gone to the Rose Bowl, one of the times when the Badgers have played in the actual bowl game, mark your calendar for 2026 and go to that game in Pasadena when we play against UCLA. Because, honest to goodness, not that I've been in huge amounts of sports stadiums, but the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, one of the absolute most gorgeous places to watch any kind of an event out there in California. We'll come back, take a look at the news headlines of the day, take your phone calls as well. Don't go anywhere. Nate is on the board. I am Todd. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Howler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Well, he had a little chat with management yesterday, and I did suggest a daily limo and a fruit plate.
How did they take that?
That didn't seem to take that seriously for some reason.
I have full faith in you. You've been doing this for a long time. And you have Greg Bach.
I got a call from management this morning saying if I'd be interested in taking on new roles as a driver and buying fruit plates. That's a career opportunity.
Put that on your resume, baby.
Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's going to be cloudy and windy with scattered off and on showers possible here through the day today. We'll get to 49 for a high. The wind out of the northwest at 15 to 25, gusting to around 30 at times. Tonight, mostly clear, 35. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, 52. By Sunday, partly cloudy with a high of 53. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 50.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tata Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 15 past the hour of 2 o'clock. Welcome back in. Nate Wagehout filling in for Mr. Zommers on the board. We appreciate that, Nate. Welcome your phone calls as well. 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Want to get to some new comments from Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers that I agree with wholeheartedly. And he was interviewed today by Wisconsin Watch. Jack Kelly, great reporter over there at Wisconsin Watch, reporting that new today, Governor Evers tells Wisconsin Watch he has no plans to restrict access to the Capitol by reducing the number of public entrances or requiring people to go through a security screening to enter the building. He said, quote, "It'd be the last thing I'd want to do," unquote. Now, if you missed it yesterday and haven't been paying attention, and I know people are busy, but here's what happened in a nutshell on Wednesday. Some Yahoo, without a shirt, some kind of a dog, and brandishing a loaded handgun, walked into the Capitol, walked up one flight of stairs to the governor's office or where the office is housed. And as someone who worked in the Capitol for several years, very familiar with the building, been in the governor's office several times, the governor's office is on, it's technically on the first floor. That's because the floor you enter is called the ground floor. So it's actually, you have to go up one flight of stairs to get to the governor's office. It's in the east wing, and there's a beautiful long marble hallway, and at the end of it is kind of a circular space. And but right before you go to that circular space, there's a big wooden desk, and I think they have some plastic or protective glass up or something. And there's one or two armed police officers, Capitol police officers, that sit there. To the right, behind that desk, is the governor's office, not his personal office, but the staff. His personal office is further back into the hallway. To the left is the state attorney general Josh Call's office, his ceremonial office. Most of the business is conducted across the street. And then straight ahead is one of the most beautiful rooms in the Capitol, the governor's conference room. So this guy on Wednesday with a loaded handgun gets as far as that desk. Capitol police do their job, question the guy. He does not have a permit for the gun. You can have a concealed carry permit in Wisconsin, which he did not have. You cannot have open carry in Wisconsin. So he was in violation of a handgun violation there. And so he was taken into custody, arrested, put in jail, booked. And whoever the DA or assistant DA was of Dane County that went before the judge, and this judge, they set the bail so low that the guy was able to post it in a matter of hours and get out himself. And he was back out on the street the same day, Wednesday, came back at 9 p.m. Now, the Capitol closes to the general public at 6, and they're very regimented about this. They kick people out, they make announcements, and the doors are locked at 6 o'clock. Now, a lot of business will still go on. If you're a staffer, you have a key card, basically. You can go there anytime, stay with the legislator. But the public is locked out at 6 o'clock. The guy comes back, the guy that was arrested and let out on bail, comes back about 9 p.m. This time, he has a police-style baton with him, which is considered a weapon. And he also has a loaded AK-47-type automatic assault rifle. And once again, the Capitol Police do their job. They step in and do a great job with him. They arrest him again, and now he's under a reportedly some sort of a mental health or type of watch. He's in a hospital. But we talked about this yesterday, so I don't want to go down the same road at length, but I have real, as a hunter, as a person that owns firearms, as someone who believes in the fundamental tenets of the Second Amendment, I'm not one of these people that says get rid of all the guns or get rid of the Second Amendment. I'm not. But as a hunter, I don't want to, you know, I deer hunted for a long time. I still do some occasional bird hunting with pheasants and turkey, but I'm not like, you know, I don't go every week. But I simply, I was brought up with hunting from the time I could walk. And I don't know any legitimate hunter that needs an AK-47 or AR-15 to hunt with. I just don't. So anyway, that, and I also think we need more strict and stringent red flag laws and other things to help. You can never fully do it, but help prevent some of these people with possible mental illness from getting these type of weapons. But on the flip side, as somebody who worked at the state capitol for several years, one of the great things about our capitol is that it's open to the public, that anybody can walk in and out. It's representative, in my mind, of freedom and democracy in this state. You can walk in and talk to your legislator or their staff at any time. So there was a lot of talk yesterday, and rightfully so. Should there be a review of security? Should we put metal detectors into the state capitol like they do in Washington, D.C.? Should many of the entrances, because there's a lot of them, be locked up? I went through that after 9/11, when there was about a year or so, where there was only a couple entrances open. You had to go through metal detectors and security, and it just felt terrible. And then during the Act 10 protests, which, by the way, were peaceful, you had Scott Walker, afraid of teachers, essentially, putting metal detectors in the building once again. And I was just up on the square this morning, getting a great cup of coffee at Wonder State Coffee here in Wisconsin. You can find them in Viroqua as well, in Bayfield, Wisconsin. But Wonder State Coffee, I was here on the square, and this morning there were busloads of fourth graders. It is a tradition in Wisconsin. Fourth grade classes come here for their annual tour of the state capitol. And it's fantastic that kids could just walk in and out, their teachers. And if you have just one or two entry points, what happened before, after 9/11, several schools said, look, we don't have time to go through all that. We're not going to put up. And they canceled these field trips. So, yes, should there be a review of security at the Capitol? Yes. But as someone who worked there, I would hate to see the whole thing go on lockdown once again and make that permanent. Now, I can see moving that security point for the governor and AG's office. Just move that, because it's probably, I'm not very good with measuring feet or whatever in my head, but I'm going to say it's about 10 yards or so, maybe 15 from the entry to that big hall down to the governor's office. Just move that closer to the rotunda and make that more secure so that you can't, it makes it harder to get to the governor's office. I'm fine with that. But as far as the building itself, I agree with the governor. He said this morning to Wisconsin Watch, quote, that'd be the last thing I want to do. Governor Evers, according to Wisconsin Watch and Jack Kelly, said he wants to keep the building accessible to the public, noting the frequent visits school groups and public make to the building. Quote, this is the people's house, and we're going to do everything we can to not have that happen, he said about adding metal detectors. Quote, think about all those fourth graders that come here every year to learn about the great things that Wisconsin has done in the past, and it's enshrined in this building, he said. Quote, they do it in D.C., he said of the U.S. Capitol. I think it's creepy, and it would be triple creepy here, unquote. He also once again lauded the Wisconsin State Capitol Police and the work they do. Quote, I think the people that keep this place safe do the best they can under the circumstances, Evers said. I applaud Governor Evers. I totally agree with his stance. He gets it. I mean, remember, he was a teacher himself, right? Longtime superintendent of public schools here in Wisconsin. He gets the value of having free and open government. And again, it would be very easy for someone to overreact, especially, you know, when it was aimed at you, right? But instead of putting himself first, Tony Evers says, you know what, let's just take a second here and not overreact.
And I do have a small addition to that just sort of broke within the last hour. Robin Voss over on Twitter sort of replying to that, saying that Evers has the right take on all
really?
Of this.
Look at that.
He says on Twitter, posted about an hour ago, the Capitol Police did their job and we should not restrict the ability of the public to access their elected officials and the state capitol beyond what we do now.
So. Nicely done. Thank you, Nate. Appreciate you adding that in. So look at that. We have found agreement between Robin Voss and Tony Evers. Republicans and Democrats can agree on keeping the Capitol open.
There is some bipartisanship.
It's still left.
Still a little bit here in Wisconsin.
It took a weird dude with an assault rifle to bring them together. And not that I would want that. But there you go. And I think that would be the reaction of most people that have worked in the building. And I heard, I think it was somebody on As Goes Wisconsin called in this morning that said, you know what? I feel bad or scared for the people that work there. Well, as someone that worked there, and again, I'm not going to go into the details because I'm just not, but I will tell you as someone who worked in the building, there are measures put in place in the building for staff if you feel threatened to alert the police and to protect you. So there are, it's not like there's no security at all or there's no things to alert police and to keep you safe. There are. Sometimes it's the things you don't see and don't know about that it looks like it's a free, believe me, it's not. So I like it just the way it is. I agree with, look, I can say this on a Friday. It may be the first time since we started doing this show approaching a year that I've been able to say this. I agree with Robin Voss. I agree with Robin Voss on this issue. So my hat's off to you, Speaker Voss. Thank you for saying the right thing. My hat's off to you, Governor Tony Evers. We have found agreement between the lion and the lamb, Republican and Democrat. They have agreed that we should keep the Capitol open and not put it on lockdown. Great job. What do you think? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go to the text line before the break here. This is Wes from Middleton who says, I want the building open too. I just think we as American society have lost the privilege to have a free flow into the buildings like we do now. Guns are too prevalent. Shootings are too prevalent. Schools have metal detectors. Hospitals are installing them. We have to at this point. Safety first, unquote. Hey, that's a legitimate take. And I understand where you're coming from, Wes. I think one person who apparently is suffering some pretty serious mental illness to have an overreaction. I just think that's giving in to people's fears. That's just my take. And that's from someone who worked in the building for a long time. So I appreciate your take, Wes. Totally get it. I'm with Governor Evers and Robin Voss on this one. This is from WAUK texting in saying, quote, I bet everyone who works there wants to be behind bulletproof glass, unquote. Well, I don't know. I worked there a long time and there was rarely a time that I ever felt unsafe working at the Capitol, really. I don't want to live behind bulletproof glass, that's for sure. We're going to come back, talk about what's happening out in Washington, D.C. Speaker of the House, Jim Jordan, that's G-Y-M, Jim Jordan, as Matt Flynn would say. We'll talk about that. Who in Wisconsin is behind Jim Jordan? We'll talk about it and tell you after this. Also take your phone calls, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
CBS News Brief. President Biden says his policies are moving the country's economy in the right direction.
We have the highest share of working age Americans in the workforce in 20 years. And it's no accident. It's Bidenomics. We're growing the economy from the middle out, the bottom up, not the top down.
The U.S. economy added 336,000 jobs last month. Donald Trump has endorsed Congressman Jim Jordan to be the next Speaker of the House, says CBS's Scott McFarlane.
He is on the House Judiciary Committee, where he leads investigations into President Biden. He is a Fox News fixture. He's got a national profile.
Heavy rain and gusty winds are coming to the Northeast this weekend from Tropical Storm Philippe. Odyssey New York meteorologist Craig Allen says it's now headed for Bermuda.
Wind, rain, very rough surf likely across the island right through the day today, and I am sure that there will be flight delays in and out of the island for those that may be traveling there.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. Chippewa County Sheriff Travis Hakes released a lengthy statement Thursday refuting multiple parts of a report that is leading to a vote next week to remove him from office. The report says Hakes didn't do parts of his job and profited from his role as sheriff by selling real estate and other items on the side and had inappropriate communication with a coworker. Hakes denied most of the allegations and said the report was politically motivated. The Chippewa County Board will vote on Tuesday whether to remove him as sheriff. One board member has already called for Hakes to resign. A man is seriously hurt after being trapped inside of a combine that had rolled over Wednesday in Trumbull County. The sheriff's office said that the 48-year-old man was driving north on a road near Arcadia when he went to turn off of the road, but went into the ditch instead. The combine then rolled over and pinned the man inside. He was flown to a hospital with serious injuries. Today's weather, cloudy with scattered showers, highs only getting into the low 50s. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Howler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. Answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It's the Wild West of how students are using generative AI.
As educators, there's sort of six responses that we can have to these new tools. We could ignore it. Mm-hmm. We could ban it. We can try and outfox it. We can teach about it. We can actually teach it, or we can teach with it. I think the most exciting one, of course, is to teach with it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
It's what's on tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Lovell Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 2:33 across the time and temperature sign in the state of Wisconsin. And, well, I was going to say around the world. It's only 2:33 here in the central time zone. But anyway, Nate Winky Hout, we appreciate him. He is on the board. Mr. Zomers is off in hour number two. It is Friday, October 6th. Call in and tell us what you think about what's going on in the speaker's race. The U.S. House Speaker's race, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY, P-A-R-T-Y. You can also text us on the Civic Media app or call in as well. There's a button there. People can call in on the app. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Here is what is happening. After the unprecedented move of former now former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy being tossed out. Never happened before in the history of the country. Never had a Speaker of the House tossed out on a vote. Kevin McCarthy leaves in disgrace. And now they've taken a break. McHenry, the temporary speaker, the interim speaker, said we need a break to cool off, tone down, and decide who's going to be next. So two people have put their name into the ring thus far. Jim Jordan of Ohio and Steve Scalise of Louisiana. Steve Scalise is the assistant or the majority leader for the Republicans, kind of the number two guy in the House. And not a moderate. Neither of these guys is a moderate. All right. If you take a look at their record, vehemently opposed to any sort of equal rights for LGBTQ folks, vehemently opposed to marriage equality, vehemently opposed to Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. Jim Jordan especially supported Putin-esque type of appeasement on the genocide, and Matt Flynn hit this yesterday in his show. It's not even a war. It is genocide, what Putin and the Russians are doing to Ukraine. Jordan especially supports that kind of appeasement. So neither one of these guys, Scalise or Jordan, are moderates. They're just not. And these are the leading two candidates right now for Speaker of the House. It has been rumored that Donald Trump's name is also going to be floated. Remember, according to the Constitution, you do not have to be a member of the House of Representatives in order to be Speaker. Anybody, as long as you're legally qualified to be a member of the House, you could also be elected Speaker. So Trump's name is being floated around. I didn't see it, but I guess, like, if you look at the internet, I guess he appeared on Hannity last night or Fox and said, you know, I'd be happy to at least help out the Republicans temporarily if they need some help. Reports are he is planning on going to the Capitol on Tuesday, a day before they're going to vote, supposedly, for the next House Speaker. So you say there's no way that could happen, Todd. Well, every time we say that, right? Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader, the majority leader in the U.S. Senate, he had perhaps the best take so far that I've seen. Marjorie Taylor Greene said, quote, if Trump becomes Speaker of the House chamber will be like a Trump rally every day. It would be the House of MAGA, unquote. Chuck Schumer tweets back at her. Chuck Schumer says this to Marjorie Taylor Greene. He says, quote, no thanks. We're good. We've seen a Trump rally at the Capitol already, unquote. I thought that was pretty good by Schumer. Pretty good indeed. So here's the deal. You've got, and then leading, and by the way, Trump endorsed Jim Jordan. He came out and said, well, you know, I'm happy to help out if you want me to, but I'm endorsing absolutely Jim Jordan, has my full endorsement. Last night, or I believe yesterday, at the University of Minnesota, former Republican Congressman Liz Cheney was giving a speech. So don't take it from me about Jim Jordan if you don't want to. As a former Republican, I left the party in 2011. Don't even take it from a Democrat or a progressive. Let's have you listen to one of the most Republican families in American history. Remember Dick Cheney, vice president under George W. Bush for two terms? His daughter, Lynn Cheney, congresswoman from Wyoming, was the third ranking member in the House Republican caucus before she was voted out of that position for having the audacity to vote in favor of impeaching Donald Trump and then sat on the bipartisan January 6th committee. Liz Cheney, longtime conservative Republican, had this to say. They had used the clip this morning on MSNBC on Morning Joe. This is what Liz Cheney said yesterday about Jim Jordan.
Jim Jordan knew more about what Donald Trump had planned for January 6th than any other member of the House of Representatives. And if the Republicans decide that Jim Jordan should be the Speaker of the House, there will, and I, by the way, I don't think that's going to happen. I think he'll lose. But if they were to decide that, there would no longer be any possible way to argue that a group of elected Republicans could be counted on to defend.
And the tagline was defend democracy. That's what Liz Cheney says. If Jim Jordan is elected speaker, America should no longer be able to count on a group of elected Republicans to defend democracy. That's coming from someone who sat in the room and knows intimate details about this party and about Jim Jordan. What do you think about this? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phones across the pond over to London. Our longtime listener, Jay. Jay, what say you?
Todd, I agree with Liz Cheney. This is why I'm afraid. The Republican Party today, it does not want to govern. The party is either we govern or we ruin. It's rule or ruin.
Yeah,
the party today.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I think you bring up a great point, Jay. They cannot govern. And I think that's what's frustrating. Even some more, there's really no traditional Republicans anymore. But I mean, the non-crazy part of that caucus, they're embarrassed because they know this is a terrible political look that because they look at Nancy Pelosi and in their term, not mine, but they say even Nancy Pelosi, who he vehemently disagreed with a policy, even Pelosi was able to govern. And it's embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. I think the so-called moderates, I think they are afraid of their lives and their families' lives. That's why they're always speaking to the reporters behind closed doors, and the reporters will come out, it's so close to us, say this. Yeah. They're afraid to say something because they might get hurt, the family and themselves. This is it.
Jay, I agree with you 100%. And, I try to soak in as much as I can. I read things and, I know some people yet on the Republican side who will talk to me off the record. And you're absolutely right. I mean, we've talked about this before on this show. Mitt Romney, in his forthcoming book coming out here in a couple of weeks, have been in The Atlantic. Mitt Romney spending $5,000 a day.
Huh?
On his own security and that of his family for all the death threats that he has received for being, he's still a conservative guy.
Yeah, I don't know whether you remember one of the Congress people who voted to impeach Trump from Ohio, named Anthony Gonzalez, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
He left Congress. He was explaining to one of the Democrats and saying that my family get death threats. I have to hire security. On and on. I said to myself, this thing, Todd, in my area of the world, we've seen this political violence. This is why always, my brother, I'm calling on your soul.
We appreciate the call.
United States. I love the United States. Mm. Oh, what's going on? Sometimes I don't sleep. My son said, Mom, why are you not sleeping? I said, if this thing goes, everything goes.
Yeah. Appreciate the call as always, Jay. Thank you so much, Jay in London. Really appreciate the call. Have a great day over there across, or a great night, I guess, across the pond over London. Take care now. Jay is absolutely right about that. And again, it goes back to this narrative, what we were talking about earlier this hour with Tony Evers here in Wisconsin, that some of these folks who are already might be unstable, we'll just keep it at that, unstable folks, and they hear people like Trump. And it's not even a dog whistle anymore. Somebody called in yesterday and brought that up. They're absolutely right. It's not a dog whistle. It is straight up calling on people to take up violence in arms against people you disagree with politically. And it has to stop. It's easy for me to sit here and say this on the radio. It has to stop. That doesn't do any good. Here's what we have to do. Call upon our elected leaders in both parties, major parties, to call this out. Just like we had moments ago, Nate, thank you for bringing it up. Speaker Robin Voss, Republican, said he agrees with Democratic Governor Tony Evers that we should not put more restrictions on the state capitol. They were able to join together on that. Likewise, Robin Voss should be calling out political violence. If he really wanted to be a hero, he should have gone further and done that. And so, look, we can't have political violence on either side of the aisle here. What say you? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Can also text us on the Civic Media app on your Android or iPhone device. Would love to hear from you. So here's the deal. And Jim Jordan, Liz Cheney kind of alluded to this a little bit in her comments we played, that these people can't be trusted. A guy like Jim Jordan cannot be trusted. And here's why. Stuart Stevens, who we have had on this program, a longtime National Republican operative and now a senior advisor with the Lincoln Project, he tweeted this out today. He says, quote, Stuart Stevens, quote, "This is not complicated. The Russians supported Trump. He won. Today, the three leading candidates for the Republican nomination all support Putin's position that Russian genocide is a quote-unquote regional dispute. Trump has endorsed Jim Jordan for speaker. He, Jordan, has the Putin position. The party that was for decades the most consistent antagonist to the tyranny of the Soviet Union and Russia is now a functional tool to help Russian genocide. In the history of Western democracies, no major political party has been so compromised by a hostile foreign power. If you vote Republican, this is what you are supporting." Unquote. Powerful statement by Stuart Stevens. He has a great book. If you haven't read it, he has a new one. He's going to be on the show either next week or the week after. Has a new book coming out. But this is a guy who wrote a book called It Was All a Lie, the Republican Party and How It Became Donald Trump. And he starts off saying, look, this is partly my fault. He helped elect some of the most conservative people ever. And this is a guy saying, look, the Republican Party is now supporting genocide, Russian genocide. And Jim Jordan is a part of it. Rick Wilson, also from the Republican Party, former Republican, but Rick Wilson tweeted out today from the Lincoln Project, a lobbyist friend of his who he did not name, said if Jordan gets elected speaker, it will mean that we'll have Speaker Jeffries, as in Hakeem Jeffries, because Republicans will lose control of the House, probably, is the thought if Jim Jordan becomes speaker. By the way, he's a terrible fundraiser, by the way. Kevin McCarthy could at least raise money for Republicans. Jim Jordan, not so much. We see you on the lines, as Matt Flynn says. We'll come back and take your calls in just a minute. Do not go anywhere. Give us a call, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Would love to hear from you. We'll take your calls the other side. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Network.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
It's going to be cloudy and windy with scattered off and on showers possible here through the day. Today, we'll get to 49 for a high. The wind out of the northwest at 15 to 25, gusting to around 30 at times. Tonight, mostly clear, 35. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, 52. By Sunday, partly cloudy with a high of 53. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock. At the top of the hour, our friend and colleague, Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct, will come in. He is an attorney, former head of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, all-around great guy, very knowledgeable. More news on the speaker's race, I'm sure, and all the other late-breaking news of the day. Matt Flynn Direct immediately after the news and after our program. Talking about the speaker's race out in Washington, D.C., Steve Scalise of Louisiana and GYM Jim Jordan. Why do we say that? I get that from Matt Flynn. And we have to say it because Jim Jordan was part of this cabal. By the way, he wrestled at Wisconsin. Was a great wrestler from the University of Wisconsin, and then ended up going to Ohio State to be an assistant coach. And while there, they had this incident when the team doctor allegedly assaulted dozens of young men. And the allegation is, and these wrestlers have testified under oath in tears, that Jim Jordan knew about this and did nothing. Also under oath, that Jim Jordan called some of these wrestlers, also in tears, begging them not to testify against him because it would ruin his political career. This guy has more baggage than a woman at a train station with a big case. And he wants to be the speaker. Plus, as Stuart Stevens points out, has the pro-Putin position on Russian genocide in Ukraine. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phone. Stoughton, CJ in Stoughton, what say you? CJ, are you there? CJ is not there. All right, CJ, call back if you get us, but we'll go on. Let's go to Mark in the sack. Mark, thanks for holding and calling in. Mark, what say you?
Yeah, thanks for mentioning Jim Jordan's baggage that, protecting pedophiles rather than protecting the students, it sounds like. And Steve Scalise says he's David Duke without the baggage.
Right, exactly.
To be a Klansman without people actually recognizing he's a Klansman.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if some of this has to do with these people's lack of respect for the common good, for the commons, for the United States itself. I mean, I think they're closer in belief to the preamble of the Confederate Constitution, which says sovereign independent states coming together for a permanent government. And in the preamble to their Constitution, they omitted providing for the common defense or promoting the general welfare in the preamble to the Confederate Constitution, both of which are in the preamble to the United States Constitution. If you read the preamble to the United States Constitution, that is what we formed the government. That's what we formed our government for. That's what we formed, for the United States to become. To all that's included in the preamble to the Constitution, the Constitution itself fleshes out what those duties are going to be and how we're going to accomplish that. But these people clearly, as Liz Cheney pointed out, these people do not believe in democracy. Do not believe in the Constitution. They actually took an oath to preserve, protect, and defend. And I challenge them to their faces on it, each and every one of them. I mean, what's sad to me is I think that I could, for a lot of these guys, I could challenge them to a debate and actually win the debate based on what the Constitution actually says.
Yeah, right.
And I'm not a constitutional scholar.
You read it. You read it, and you're a person of history, Mark. And here's what I want to get your quick take, and I got to move on, but very quickly. What do you think? I mean, Stuart Stevens makes the point. I mean, Stuart and I, both longtime Republicans, both left the party. And for years, Republicans were the antagonists to the Soviet Union, the commies, and Russia. And now, as Stuart Stevens says, they are a functional tool of Russian genocide. I mean, these current guys like Jim Jordan have just forgotten about recent history and the Republican Party.
And I agree with you there. I mean, I thought at the time some of Ronald Reagan's language was not wise, but I did not disagree with him that it was the, you know, they were our adversaries. I mean, that I wouldn't know if I ever said evil empire, because I didn't know if that was constructive to actually say that. But I mean, that's what he actually came out and said. These guys, like I've said before, I don't know if I said on this program, I think that the soil over Ronald Reagan's grave has vitrified and turned to glass because he's been spinning in it so fast.
I agree with you, Mark.
What these Republicans have been saying.
Great call, Mark. Thanks so much. Mark in the sack, appreciate your call. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Go back to the phones, and Susan calling. Susan, what say you?
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was just wanted to say that I think all of us have been asleep at the wheel for a long time. We've been lulled into the idea that this republic that we have is going to continue on regardless of what happens. And I think that having better educational systems where we actually teach history, I mean, my dad was in World War II, so I have a lot of stories from him about what people here were doing to support Hitler and the German project. Mm-hmm. And so I guess I just think we have to become more, just really have to educate people on what history taught us, how not to repeat those mistakes. So that's my biggest point.
Totally agree. It was a great call. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. And that kind of leads me into our segue of our next program here, and our colleague and friend, Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct. If you haven't listened to him before, stay around. Stick around. You can follow, download the Civic Media app. You can take the show on the go, as we say, or listen to one of our fine stations right here. Because Matt Flynn, I mean, he uses this as a tagline, but it's so true. You're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke if and until you know history. And history, to Susan's point, if you look at history, I mean, Matt's talked about this on his show, other people online talking about it. Trump is attacking immigrants. And saying it's poisoning the blood of America. You want to know where that came from? Hitler. Straight out of Mein Kampf. Somebody said on Twitter today, you know, the old phrase, it was better, it sounded better in the original German, right? It seems preposterous that we have to talk about this in 2023. But to paraphrase the old line, you know, the price of democracy is eternal vigilance. We have to know history. We have to know what's happened before, and we have to call it out when we see it again. Been a great show. Appreciate you all for sticking around. Can we get Dumbester, who is Russell, real quickly on the line there? Russell, will take you real quick. Russell, give you about 30 seconds. What do you got to say?
Hey, that's the best phone call from CJ I've ever heard.
Well, we gave him a chance. We gave him a chance. You got 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, no, that I agree with 100%, but the gun in the Capitol, instead of locking it up, let's do some background checks and stuff before a person gets a gun.
Yep, agree. More background
checks. Let's get rid of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Totally agree. All right. Thanks, anyway. Russell. Appreciate it. Like I said, Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct is next after the news and weather. Stay tuned for that. Devil's Advocates after that. Nate will be around. Nate, thank you so much for doing the last hour here. We appreciate you, my friend.
Of course. Always love to be on.
Well, thank you. We would love to have you. Thanks to Mr. Zommers, who is here at hour number one. And also thanks to our guest, Brady Ewing. It is homecoming weekend here in Madison, Wisconsin. Great luck to the Badgers. Don't forget, you can listen to Badger Football tomorrow with Matt LePay and Mark Towser right here for free on the Civic Media app. Also, one of our callers from RCE and Richland Center said, hey, also a great opportunity to go out and support a local establishment that has the game on the screens. We'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend. Until then, keep banging on your drum. And your day will come. Keep banging on your drum. And they will hear you.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.